The Magic Podcast, hosted by Lloyd Barnes and Craig Petty. Your all-access, behind-the-scenes insight into the current happenings of the magic industry, where Craig and Lloyd will thrust themselves deep inside your ears every Wednesday to rant, dissect, and give you their raw and unfiltered views on the art of magic. So, lock your door, take out your deck, and brace yourself for the Magic Podcast.
Hey guys, welcome back to the Magic Podcast with me, Craig Petty, and the prodigal son returning, the one and only, the Welsh Wonder Wizard, the man, the myth, the legend, the best there is, the best there was, the best there ever will be, the one and only, the God amongst men, the sheep shagger himself, Mr. Lloyd Barnes. How you doing, Lloyd?
All right.
Dude, how was Paris? How are you and you and Kaylee went to Paris for her birthday?
It was Kaylee's birthday. Well, we worked out it was cheap. It was about as cheap to go to Paris than it was to go to Cardiff for the night. Because you know, it's like having a baby in the house, you don't want to leave him too long. It's Kaylee's birthday, and we're like, oh, we'll stay in a fancy hotel for the night. And that was like, I don't know, 250 odd quid, and then the shopping spree that comes with it, a couple hundred quid, and like, oh, I don't know, to go 20 minutes. My head was, you know, Kaylee's like, oh, yeah, just love the fancy hotel, doesn't matter if it was in the same town. And in my head, it's like, I don't want to pay fucking half a grand to sleep 20 minutes away. I don't give a fuck. So yeah, I just took a flight to Paris at a swanky hotel and shit, and they worked out like the same price. So I was like, oh well, if you're gonna, like, in my head, if I'm gonna spend money, I may as well do something. If I'm gonna just sleep in up the road, I just can't do it. If I was a billionaire, I still wouldn't do it. Do you know what I mean? I'm that type of person.
Yeah, I'm
sure. And so I was like, well, if we're gonna spend the money, Kale, we may as well fucking actually do it. So we went into that and it was loads of fun. I was really gutted, actually, in a way. I put on Instagram some photos, just like holiday snaps, and loads of magicians from all over Paris, like, oh, where the fuck are you? Let's meet up now, like, let's come and see each other. And I felt gutted because it was Kaylee's birthday, and obviously I wasn't gonna go hang out with magicians instead, but I was very close. So my head, I thought I was going to be damn magic, you know. So I had like the French twins and Maxime and Jean-Luc Bertrand and everyone like reaching out to come and hang out, but I couldn't do it. How about you, man?
The Midwest Magic Convention which was a small convention. There was probably about 50 people there, maybe something like that.
Nice.
But an incredible convention. There was, I mean, the bill was amazing. You had Jay Sankey, you had Nick Lacapo, Jamie Williams from Wales, obviously. You had me.
Oh, yeah.
Ryan did his very first lecture. I think he's the youngest.
Wow.
Yeah, I think he's the youngest lecturer in the history of magic, as far as I'm aware. Just turned 11, did a 1-hour lecture, broke down his act, performed it, broke it down, then did a Q&A. Sankey was Sankey, you know, he's always amazing. And the gala show was fantastic.
Sankey looks like you if you had all your chromosomes. You know what I mean?
Like, he doesn't look it, but you know, Sankey's like 63 now.
Is he?
Yeah.
Whoa. Oh, yes. Yeah, of course. Sankey's never aged. He's always looked like he's 50 in my head, you know?
Like, he's always even when he was younger. Yeah.
He looks like solid. How Blink 182 dresses now. Yeah, dude. What? Yeah, did you get to spend time with him?
Yeah, I mean, him and I chatted a couple of times. I mean, Sankey did the thing that Sankey does, which is all the other lecturers were like hanging out in the bar. I was hanging out in the bar. Rylan was hanging out in the bar. I mean, most of the time he was drunk on shots, but he was hanging out in the bar. Nick was hanging out in the bar. Jamie was hanging out. All of the acts were hanging out in the bar, hanging out with all of the other all the other acts. Sankey, not so much. He'd pop his head in a little bit, say hello, leave, disappear. He kind of like appears and does his lecture, and the rest of the time you see him dotted around. He'll pop in for a few minutes and say hi and then leave. But I get the feeling he doesn't like to hang around with magicians, or he doesn't like to, maybe it's just his age, but he doesn't like to be in the bar sessioning or anything like that. That's not, so I didn't really see him that much. We chatted a couple of times, but that's it.
I get that. 100%. 100%.
Yeah, but you know, that's you know, there's no right or wrong way of doing that. That's just Jay. Outside of that, the convention was amazing. The gala show was spectacular, absolutely spectacular. Nick LaCoppo, if you've never seen his act, you should really go and see him perform on stage. He's one of the best stage performers I've ever seen. He opens his act with the old Hummer card, Bob Hummer's spinning card. And
yeah,
does it so well. I mean, it looks like real magic. It looks like real magic. And then he floats bills, and there's a lot of floating stuff going on. But yeah, I mean, the whole convention was incredible. Everything was great. The podcast last week, you probably haven't listened to it, but David Jonathan, great co-host, a really good co-host. Did a great job.
Fuck yeah, I do like to.
Yeah.
What topics did you cover?
We covered everything. Like, we talked about his new releases, Profile and Synergy. He teased some stuff he's got coming out with Murphy's later this year. Apparently, he's got another trick coming out with Murphy's later this year that you probably know about because that's your department. We talked about the state of magic. We talked about whole bunch of stuff. It was just I've had some great feedback. A lot of people came over to me at the convention and went, oh, David was such a great choice of co-host. It was really good. So yeah, he did you proud. Yeah, David's amazing. David is absolutely just a diamond. And I've been learning him and Nicholas's new trick, Profile. Do you know it?
No, I don't think so.
It will fool you. I guarantee you, it will fool you.
What's the premise? Like, what's it about?
I don't want to tell you. It's basically a brainwave deck kind of thing, where
want to tell you. It's a brainwave deck.
No, but it's a brainwave deck. The effect, I'm going to tell you, the effect is like a brainwave deck, in that there's only one card in the deck that's got a different colored back. And you arrive at that card through a series of random choices, and there are no forces with those choices. And you arrive at this random card, and it's the only card in the deck that's red, and all the others are blue, and everything is completely examinable.
Oh, wow, that's... Oh, I think he has shown me this, actually.
I popped up in the trap because he did it me over Zoom a few months ago and floored me and just, like, crushed my... So I was like, fucking hell. Yeah, he's great. And
yeah,
he lets stick to me. I mean, you know that Snaps, his trick Snaps, is one of my favorite tricks of all time. He lets slip to me that at some point soon, there might be a jumbo version of Snaps.
Oh, wow.
I'm very excited.
Oh, wow. Fuck, that's good. They're actually going to do really well.
Yeah, absolutely. Other than that, I'm off to the House of Secrets this weekend. So Ryland's performing at the House of Secrets. I'm there. That's on the Friday and the Saturday. And then next week, I'm at Alakazam all week filming for some stuff with Drew Perry. So me and Drew Perry are filming together. He's got a project coming out with Alakazam. I'm going to be co-hosting it. And I've got a project coming out with Alakazam, and he's going to be on my project. And we're going to be doing some filming for a couple of new projects. Drew's thing is incredible. Absolutely incredible. I think it could be the trick of 2024. I'm not kidding. People are just going to... Everybody's going to want to buy this. And then I've got a live...
Are we allowed to know what it is? Or
I will tell you after, because I don't think Pete wants me to announce what it is yet, but it's fucking amazing. It's amazing. In fact, I'm going to pause the recording for 2 seconds so I can tell you what it is and then get your reaction to it. So here's a pause for 2 seconds. Okay, I've just...
So it's like a shake weight built into a fleshlight.
Yeah, yeah, oh. Right. It's amazing.
No,
and
holy
anybody
fuck.
who orders three of them,
I actually do know. Yeah, I remember Drew showing me this. This is fucking phenomenal. And it gives me the same vibes in the strangest way of the mini book pro effect by Noel Coulter. Yeah. And
completely different and trick, but the same sort of vibe, yes.
That same vibe of something that it's worker crazy, like ultra practical, but yeah, you can't sort of go wrong, but also has massive, will engage, will get massive reactions, like what the fuck reactions. Yeah, yes, I need one. I fucking want one. It's phenomenal. Fuck, yeah, that's so good. So fucking good.
Yeah. So we're filming that next week, ready for a Blackpool launch. It's going to be fucking amazing. By the time this goes out, we're filming this on the Tuesday. It goes out on the Wednesday. Tuesday night, i.e. tonight on Alakazam, I'm doing a live launch of my new Christmas trick called Christmas Cards.
Oh, hell yeah. Wait, what are these about then?
So, do you remember Monsters? Remember I brought out Monsters, which was at Halloween, and it was a collection of cards that depicts cinematic monsters through history, and it was a very innovative marking system and cribbing system, and it involved the binary system and a whole bunch of different stuff. Well, I've built that into what looks like Christmas films. So, you know, you've got various different Christmas films, and it's basically monsters in Christmas film. So you get 16 cards, and you can do all the stuff that you can do with monsters with these. So, you know, it's my second row. Last year was Elf. Oh, I'll send you one. I'll get Alakazam to send you one, and then you've got it, and you can put it somewhere and then forget about it and not actually look at it because you're too busy doing other shit. But at least I've sent it to you then.
That's fucking beautiful, champ. Love that.
I'll tell you what, before we move on, at the Midwest Magic Convention, I've never seen him lecture before, but I was quite impressed with Jamie Williams, your fellow countryman.
Oh, mate, he's a little hidden genius, isn't he?
Yeah, I was really impressed with his stuff. Like, a lot of it, just really solid commercial working material. You know, stuff that's just works, that you don't need to worry about, you don't need to think about.
Yeah.
Just fucking works.
And yeah, well, he's a gigger, isn't he? Like, so, not the like, or he's really creative, and he goes out and performs. You know what I mean? He's got that, like, what's the word? The Holy Trinity.
Yeah, absolutely.
Fantastic.
There's very few people.
What did he show you?
I mean, a whole bunch of stuff. So obviously he did his Star Jaws effect, which he brought out through Matthew Wright with the crayons and changing into the Star Wars characters. He did his Celebrity routine. I made notes on all of it because it was all really good. Sticker Kicker, obviously, but his handling of Sticker Kicker, which was really good. Like, I don't know why they didn't include that handling on the project. And he sold a fuck ton of Sticker Kickers. Like,
what's his handling?
Well, it's not so much that the handling is different, the presentation is different. He kind of does it as a kind of a betcha type thing. I'm going to give you three chances to win money, you know, first chance. And he did it. What was funny, he did it. I said Sankey wasn't there much. He did pop up for Jamie's lecture, or at least halfway through Jamie's lecture. And Jamie put Sankey up on stage, and Sankey was the spectator for Sticker Kicker. And said afterwards he thought it was one of the best close-up tricks he'd ever seen. So there's a quote. The fucking website right there.
Whoa. That's fucking good.
Yeah, right.
That's fucking good. Mm-hmm. Holy shit. Oh, talking about legends, magic. I've told three people about this, but fuck it. Did you see my David Copperfield video?
No.
Oh, my video, I found a bunch of comments online about how David Copperfield's going to vanish the moon, and I made a YouTube video on it.
No, I didn't see it.
How have you not seen this?
I have been a bit busy. I haven't even checked.
Oh my God. I went fucking balls to the walls out on this video. How David Copperfield will vanish the moon, explanation. And So people initially think it's going to be me just explaining the method to how he's going to do it. And but it's not. It's I found on like the Daily Mail and some other places, three comments of lay people's ideas of how he's going to do it, methods to how he thought he was going to do the moon and make moon vanish. And one of them's quite smart, or you know, one of them's not bad, but you know, it's not the way he's going to do it. But I pull on like did animations and examples and everything, and put together these three theories, and then I teach one way you could do it at home, which is not the method that you know Kopsky is going to do, but it's just you know a fun way you could do it at a house party. And anyway, yeah, so the reaction has been fucking amazing to it. But a handful of people were like, I can't believe you're fucking exposing this before it's gone live. It's like, dude, fucking watch the video, you fucking idiot. This is literally like lay people's guesses of how he's not going to do it, basically. Anyway, but yeah, amazing reaction to it, minus a few people. And I was like, oh, you know, even though these, you can't take these people's comments back off the internet, but maybe, and I was like, oh, should I post? I don't know. Like, I feel maybe, you know, what if one of those people were right? And it sort of maybe spoiled it for David Copperfield. I was like, oh, fuck, I don't know, maybe that's kind of bad. And then when I was in Paris, I woke up to an email from Copperfield's team.
Are you joking?
Nope.
Saying what?
We leave it till the end of the show for me to say.
Yeah. Are you going to tell us?
Yeah, if you want.
I fucking want to know.
It took me 3 days to respond.
What did they fucking say?
You want to know now?
Fucking yes, I need to know now. What did they say?
Let me pull up the email. From Chris Kenner.
Fucking hell.
It says, Lloyd. It's not bad. It says, Lloyd, we loved your moon video. Great job. On a side note, I'm a big positive fan of your work. Some very clever stuff. Chris Kenner. But I'm so relieved. I thought, oh my god, is he gonna? Are they gonna get off? It turns out they like the video, and I wanted to give me some props for it. But when I seen the email come in, I was like, holy fuck! I am either gonna get a cease and desist. well, I'm probably gonna get a cease and desist and told that I'm exiled from Magic or something. But I imagine that when I first seen the comments coming from a few people that were like, exposing it before I stand without actually watching the video, you know, you can imagine certain people out there would be cracking their knuckles getting ready to make a video of how I'm the devil. You know how everything wrong with Magic, and then Hotfield and his team, specifically Kenna, reaches out to say they love it. But yeah, man, I got that email. Like,
the bottom line is, from David Copperfield's point of view, all of this is good publicity. Like, you know, you don't announce 6 months ahead of time that you're going to vanish the moon and then hope that nobody talks about it. The more videos that are made, the more blogs that are written, the more vlogs that are produced, the more buzz, the better, I imagine, for when that thing actually goes live.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, there's no way... Their marketing team anticipated people taking wild guesses, you know, years ago when they were, it's the internet, it's the fucking internet. And I was thinking about it, I was weighing it up and down before publishing the video. I spent ages talking to like Jack Rose about it and stuff. But, you know, realistically, he's not going to use these methods. These are people guessing off the internet, you know. It's Copperfield, man. And my videos, anyway, you know, a big portion of the video talks about how he's doing it for charity, and that's sort of like the important thing about it. I have my own theories of how he's going to do it, as probably you do, and they're nothing like how fucking video goes. But yeah, it's going to be such a man. I'm so excited for it. It's going to be such. I've never seen a Copperfield event live, and it sort of passed me by in my youth, and you know, the walk, the vanishing the Statue of Liberty, walking to the Great Wall of China. In fact, I think the first time I even heard about the walking to the Great Wall of China was watching the Masked Magician expose it. But it, you know, I'd seen it exposed before I even heard about the effect itself. So actually, be alive whilst he's doing something. And the cool thing about it, I think, is that this is going to create a new generation of magicians.
Yeah.
You know? So I think it's just fucking amazing. And yeah, I was super, super happy then the team reached out to Chris and said that they'd seen it and loved it. And it was massive relief, right, to be honest.
I've been, like I say, I've been off YouTube for about a week and a half because I've just been running around the country. But I'm going to go and watch that. Yeah, as soon as I've finished here, I'm going to watch that video. That sounds fucking amazing.
Thanks, man.
So I want to ask you one more thing before we start talking about products. So from one legend of magic to another legend of magic, I want your thoughts on something that the entire magic community are talking about right now. And I've got three words for you. Dynamo is dead. What's going on? What's your thoughts? It's everywhere. Like, I've been kind of out of it because I've just been running around performing for the last week and a half. But as far as I can see, you know, there's something going on the 14th of December. Dynamo is doing something. As far as I can see, he's deleted all the posts on his Instagram. And he's got a new Instagram called Dynamo is Dead. It's a big enough deal. David Jonathan and Nicholas Mavresis were doing an Alakazam Academy on the same night as the Dynamo's Dead program, and it's being perceived by Alakazam as such a big deal that they've actually moved the Alakazam Academy, so it's not on the same day as Dynamo is Dead. It's been, you know, every single Facebook group, Reddit, everywhere is trying to try and figure out what's going on. What's going on? I know asking you to betray a confidence here, but I mean, you must have seen all the stuff that's going on here, right? You must have seen, is it just a big hype thing for a new show? Is it something else? Like, it's very enigmatic.
Oh man, it's fucking epic is what it is. I'm not at liberty to say what it all about, what it's all about even. Because the information that's out there now is the information that's allowed to be out there now about what it's going to be. Just know that D and the team have been working on it for a long time, and this one is very, very. This is a new Dynamo, like we've never seen before. Yeah. I'm really gutted in a way. Well, so D called me in from basically the very beginning to try and get me to be on the team and of the consultants for the whole thing, and I just couldn't make it work for the family life. I'd have to basically live in London and travel wherever they were going places. So I'm really glad to have not been able to make that work, but I have been called in at certain times, and you know, been kept in the loop with what's been going on with it, and it's just incredibly, incredibly exciting. And you know, the best artists reinvent themselves, right? Like, you know, the people that have longevity in any industry, people, if you think like the David Bowies of music and people like that, they continue to like move forward with the times and change. And you know, you're not going to see a Dynamo coming out doing like a Dove act or anything, but this is a much more older, refined, and impressive Dynamo in whatever capacity you're going to see him. And much more, I'm reluctant to say any more than that. Dynamo is Dead is the perfect way to emphasize the campaign and what it's all going to be about. And everyone's in for a treat, a real treat, a real fucking treat with it.
So what we're saying here is the 14th of December is must-see TV on Sky TV.
Yo, fuck. Yeah, 100%. It's very hard to talk about it, but you know, like, if some magicians were given the opportunity to have a TV show, they would squander it, or they would do what they thought would work. Like, oh, that'll work, that'll fill a segment. And, you know, over the years, people have said that, you know, I've seen in message boards that people haven't thought that Dynamo should be where he is because they could do an ambitious card better than he can, or whatever bullshit they say. What's undeniable, especially after being, you know, limited part of this, because, you know, I haven't been able to, my availability didn't work, is Dynamo fucking went for it. You know, morning, noon, fucking night, 24/7, over 365 days a year, non fucking stop to make this the best show you'll ever see, or whatever it's going to be.
Wow.
Well, Sky One, you know, so it's obviously a televised, it's on televised. This is honestly non fucking stop. I'm working with the best, I think the best minds in Magic Live.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. Now I'm excited. And it must be big for him to delete every post off his Instagram, which had like, a million subscribers or something. And then it's literally set up a new Instagram account. I mean, it's just insane. It's crazy. He's got the world talking. He's got everybody at this Irish convention was talking about Dynamo and, oh, what's this all about? Everywhere I turn, everyone's talking about Dynamo.
Well, yeah, indeed, essentially had just vanished off the face of the earth for the last few years.
Yeah. I mean, he was riding high. He'd just done his tour around theatres where he had rave reviews. He was selling out like the O2 Arena, biggest shows in the UK for a magician ever. And then after that, shortly after that, he just kind of flipped out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All will be revealed. There's very much reason behind and a story behind what's gone on. Not a story, a real life that's so happened.
Wow. Okay. Thanks for shedding absolutely no light on the situation at all and just creating even more hype. I appreciate that, Lloyd. Thank you very much. So let's talk about products. And more specifically, I thought that what we'd do is in 2 days' time, it's Black Friday, and then after that, it's Cyber Sunday or Monday, whatever the fuck it is. Let's talk about Black Friday deals. Have you seen any good ones?
No.
Okay, so thanks very much for tuning into the Magic Podcast this week. Thank you very much.
I don't follow these things, man. I don't know what's going on.
Well, okay, well, let me show you some Black Friday deals, and you can tell me what you think of it, okay? I'll shout out some Black Friday deals. So, give me a second. Let me just find...
I've seen a Black Friday video for the Murphy's Black Friday thing, and it's fucking hilarious. And it's Javier speaking to the voice of God sort of thing. And it's like, oh. I know about what's going on there. That's a cool thing, but...
Okay, well, this
I don't
is...
Wanna be...
We'll start with Penguin. This is Penguin's 2023 Penguin Holiday Gift Guide. They're bringing out a whole bunch of new tricks. They've got a bunch of new releases. The first one is called Dragon Scale, which is kind of a scale.
Oh, yeah, I seen a video for that this morning whilst I was spending half an hour waiting for you to do fuck all. And it looks phenomenal.
Oh, my God. Mandy showed it me when I was in Columbus with Ryland recently. And the stuff that you can get from this scale is insane. Like, you can have... So, like, it starts off... So, obviously, it's built into a card box, right? It's built into a card box.
Yeah. Oh, so anyone that hasn't seen this, this is a smart scale. Like, there's a couple of others out there, right? That's the only thing that was in my head. Yeah. Like, you know, this does exist. Smart scale built into a card box. That means if you put a stacked deck on it, when you cut the cards from that deck, the scale knows how many cards have been removed, but also then can calculate what cards would be in that.
Yes, although you don't have to have the cards starting off on the card box. You can just have the card box on the table. You can have them cut some cards off And then you can put the rest of the cards to one side, putting them on the card box, and then it'll get the
cards off clever.
On the card box. It can literally be you're just putting the balance onto the card box, and it'll still give you the read that you need. But it doesn't just give you the card. It just doesn't just give you that. It goes to your watch. It goes to your phone. But it gives you everything. Like, it gives you the total of all of the spots in the packet that you've cut off. So it adds up all of the totals, like Jack is 11, Queen is King. You know, it does all of that. It points out.
Like, I've seen that. That was amazing. So, like, you cut off a quarter of the card. And then it tells you via an app and directly to your watch, 83.
Yeah.
So then you know before they do that, if they add up all the values of those cards, it'll come to 83.
Yeah. And they it gives you star signs as well. The star signs built into it. And I don't even know how the fucking star sign things works, but it gives you so much information. You can build like book tests into it so that you get like just insane stuff. And it had Nick. And they got Greg Wilson in to do the tutorial. Greg Wilson and Nick LaCapo. That's insane.
Who created this?
Penguin. They created it themselves. They told me, Nick told me, because I was with him over the weekend, Nick told me that it's been in development since 2017, and they wanted to hold off until the effects of the pandemic were kind of more out of the way than ever before until they actually released it.
So the only question I have on the fringe of it is what's the deal with the Tata one, you know, or you know, is that one a knockoff? You know, are people going to go crazy over like,
I don't know, because there's like three or four on the market now, isn't there? I mean, when does it get to a point when people are allowed to make their own version of things up? Like, there's so many different versions of Invisible Deck. There's so many different versions of the Thumb Tip. There's so many different versions of there's already a couple of scales out there, you know, as far as I'm aware. Yeah. Like, and they both coexist in the same market. This is the most technologically advanced one I've ever seen, and it gives you more information than either of the others. But when does it become okay to say, right, okay, well, this is our version of this thing. This is our version of this thing. Like, Dex is a perfect example. There's a bunch of different card indexes out there. Dex is a card index that works differently to all other card indexes. There's a lot of stuff out there like that. Like, how many chop cups are there? How many cups and balls sets of the are there? You know, at some point, somebody invented the very first chop cup. How did that chop cup that was created by whoever, I don't know, I've never looked into the history. I know Don Allen was the first person to popularize it. But when did that chop cup get to the point where it's like, well, everybody bring, you know, you don't see someone bring out a chop cup now and they go, well, you can't do that because it's owned by somebody else. When did it get to that point?
Well, I suppose it depends on like historical age or something, doesn't it? I mean, a smart scale built into a deck of cards can only be so many years old compared to a chop cup.
Yeah.
I don't know. Whoever invented the smart scale, probably just the person that gives in the cards, probably give the permission.
Yeah. I don't know anything about that. I mean, what I do know is Penguin do try to do the right thing. So one of the other new releases got out is the Magic for Everyone kit. I don't know if you've seen the trailer for that. That's the kit that Rylan was involved in. So he's on the tutorial.
I've seen the trailer for that. Yeah. Hell yeah. And they got Ben Harris's permission for...
I was just going to say, he got... when Penguin said they wanted Rylan involved in the project and they told me what was in the kit... I was like, look, I'm friends with Ben Harris. What's the situation there? And they were like, oh no, we've reached out to Ben and we've got his blessing to include this in the kit. And when the trailer went live, Ben was posting everywhere all on the internet going, oh, congratulations to Rylan Petty for such a great performance on the Magic of Everything kit. It's really nice to see my effect perform so well. And he's been messaging Rylan alternate handlings as well and stuff. So that's what I mean. It would be very easy for them to, that trick's been ripped off so many times. It would be very easy for them to just do that again. But I mean, they did the right thing with Ben Harris, you know, and they are an ethical company to deal with. They really are. So I can imagine that they feel they're in the right with the Dragon Scale. I mean, I know they've been developing it for a long, long time. I don't know. I don't know the answer.
Yeah, no, I mean, do I? But I know Penguin knows the right. I'm just curious, you know. But it looks fucking amazing.
And
it's a good price. $399, I think, is a fair price for what it is. Oh, yeah. The compatibility of the app, the fact that it talks to the Apple Watch too, you know, the fact that it included Greg Wilson's the routine can be phenomenal. It just, no brainer purchase.
They've got some of the other new stuff they've announced. Obviously, the Magic for Everyone kit, which is just fucking amazing. It's got four of the best. It's got a Penguin Mark deck. The kit is $20, and it includes a Penguin Mark deck, which are $10 on its own, and it's one of the best Mark cards decks that there is. And it's got Penguin's pen for anything, and it's got a really nice bite out Oreo cookie, and it's got the floating match handmade. I mean, all
incredible.
That. Yeah. Then they've bought out, this is all part of their Black Friday, they've released a bunch of stuff. They've bought out the amazing Jonathan's knife through arm.
Amazing.
Officially licensed. And you've got Dan Harlan on the project, who went and did it live numerous times. They brought Dan back in to do it, teaching it, and also teaching how to make the fake blood and all of that stuff. And live performances on there. Yeah, the knife through arm. I mean, you know, if you want to do a knife for arm, you know, the amazing Jonathan popularized that, you know, made it amazing. When I was over there with Ryland, they showed me those knife for arms, and they're fucking well made, mate. They really are. Executive Bad by Dennis Ulm and Dick Barry. You probably don't know much about that. It's like an add a number pad, but it's got a mechanical switch. However, they got me involved in that project as well, because they wanted some routines for it outside of the mentalism routines that they were putting on there by Dennis Ulm and Dick Perry. And I put 11 routines designed for magicians, for a walk around magician, on there as well. So there's 11 routines from me, and there's also all the mentalism stuff that you can do with it as well. It's a beautiful pad, fits in your pocket, and you can do basically out to lunch stuff, but automatically. You don't need business cards, you don't need you don't need an elastic band. Anything that you would do with out to lunch, you can do this, but you can do it into the spectator's hand. It'll change in their hand, and then you can have them rip the paper off themselves and keep it. Like, really fucking good.
That's good.
The Hip Pocket Mullica Wallet by Tim Trono. You know, they've bought that back. They got the rights to the Hip Pocket Mullica Wallet. And Nick has got the most expansive tutorial on this that I've ever seen. Nick's got some real work on it. And he was doing it in Ireland. It's his everyday carry wallet, and he was doing it. And I forgot how good the Mullica wallet was until I saw Nick doing it. And it's just, you know, the fact that you can just throw it down on the table right from the very beginning, and you don't have to have it in your pocket. I know you don't carry wallets. I know it's not something that you'd probably be interested in at all, but most pros do have a wallet with them. This is a really well-made wallet.
Isn't the thing, the goat is back. Yeah, everyone loves the fucking Mullica wallet, man.
Yeah. And then you've got, do you know Cashen Wallace?
I don't think we've ever chatted, but I know of him. He's fucking supremely talented. Yeah, he's so creative.
Out with him every
so
time
good.
I go to Columbus. He's fucking amazing. And this On the Rise. I don't know. Have you seen the trailer for On the Rise?
Yes, I did see that actually.
Yeah, it looks incredible.
And did he buy the right for the Hawk 2.0 then or something?
I have no idea. I don't even know what the Hawk 2.0 is.
Is it the Hawk or it's Alexander Kohler?
I remember Alexander Kohler. He's not been around for a long time, has he?
Hawk. He did it. This is a Paul Harris release, I think. Let me find you this video. You keep talking about it because.
Yeah,
I wasn't sure.
Well, while he's looking for that, the other stuff that they've bought out is Corby the Penguin plushie. They've got their own fucking penguin.
That looks awesome.
Yeah. And then a bunch of jigsaw puzzles and shit. But then they've got $1,000 tier, which is insane. The more you spend, the more you get for free. And you can get over $1,000 worth of magic. You can get, like, literally, I mean, the most insane, you can get the most insane amount of magic if you, so they're giving $1,000 in free magic gifts when you shop. They're doing free shipping on all orders. 50% off all of their Tarbell lessons, 10 new products, which I discussed, obviously. And then they've got like really insane details. So orders over $10 get Sweet by Matthew Johnson. Over $30, you get Transporter Card by Risky Nanza. Over $50, you get EZB by Nicholas Lawrence. Over $65, you get Cryptic Cookie by Dan Harlan. If you spend over $75, you get Santa Sleigh Ride Deck. Orders over $100, get the Locator Deck. Orders over $125, get Scar Tissue by Seth Race. And all the other stuff as well. Orders over $150. Hang on, I'll just quickly mention this. Just over $150, get the Tie System. 175, Middle Seat by Aldo Stockman. Over 200, you get Hand Drawn by Nick Lacoppo. 225, you get a free Penguin plushie. 250, you get Rich Four by Dan Harlan. 275, you get the Classic Poster Jigsaw Edition. Over 300, you get the Mystery Deck. 325, Mental Block by Dan Harlan. Over 350, you get the Dubs Card Sleeves. 375, Moneyball by Nate Kranzo. This is the interesting one, Lloyd. You spend over $400 at Penguin, and you're going to get all of that stuff, as well as decks by Lloyd Barnes and Javier Fuenmayor.
Woo! We're in the premium tier, baby!
Got it. Over 450, come and get some by Amanda Nepo. 500, you get the Classic Poster. 550, you get Lucky Lotto by Craig Petty. Boom. 600, Flight of Fancy by David Regal. 650, Past, Present, and Future by Rick Lax. Over 700, Laced Up by Donovan Mount. Over 800, you get Speakeasy by Dan Harlan. And over 900, you get all six volumes of The Letters from Juan by Juan Tamaritz. That's their deal. It's a bit good, isn't it?
That's crazy.
So Vanishing Ink have got discounted tricks, massive discounts on all of their tricks, massive discounts on all of their books, massive discounts on all of their close-up magic, massive discounts off their downloads. And then they've got new releases that they're announcing over the next few days. They've already announced a new trick called Canon by David Regal. On Tuesday, the 21st of November, they're going to be announcing a baffling new trick by Harapan Ong. By the 22nd of November, they're going to be announcing a new trick called Trick Written in the Stars. 24th of November, a former trick of the year returns with a bang. And then on the 29th of November, they're announcing a three-volume book set from a legend in magic.
Whoa, any insights? Any?
No idea. No idea at all. No fucking clue. I have my theories as to what the former trick of the year is.
Go on.
I have a feeling, because they announced last year that they were working with Angelo Carbone to bring out Notion in Motion, his thought of card rise, which has been unavailable for years. And I have a feeling, you know, I can't think of anything else that is a former trick of the year that returns with a bang other than Notion in Motion. I reckon that's Notion in Motion. I've got no insight.
Yeah, very well could be.
Speculation.
there's an Angelo Carbone trick coming out soon with Murphy's. Another one, third one of the year.
Oh, man. I'm on the edge of my seat waiting for that one. I'm so excited.
Do people know the name? Should we tell them the name?
Go on, then.
They know the name. I don't know if I'm allowed to say, really. Should I just get? I don't know if I should say.
No, you don't want to get in trouble with Murphy's.
I'm on edge, worried about whether I should say it or not. You know,
I would edge on the side of caution and not tell them.
Yeah, I will err on edging myself. And whatever it is, it's fucking astounding. And I just watched somebody close their act with it. At the London Magic Convention, not on the convention, the night before, I seen a magic show, a phenomenal magic show, and somebody closed their act. A real piece.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Yeah, so good. So that was the Penguin thing.
That's Penguin, that's Vanishing Ink as well. Like, so they've got discounts on fucking everything. If you go onto their website and click on Black Friday, you just click on, like, they are putting massive discounts on their stuff. Massive, ridiculous discounts.
What are you going to buy?
I went for the Penguin deal. I wanted a lot of the new stuff. So I've bought myself a Dragon Scale and a few different bits and pieces from Penguin. I really want a Dragon Scale because I do mem deck work anyway. So I bought a Dragon Scale and a few other things. So I've got a Dex coming from Penguin for free. Boom.
Yeah, boy.
I'm excited. You know, what's better than one Dex? Two Dex. I'm getting a few bits and pieces. I'm going to get the new David Regal trick. That looks good. And maybe if there's some other new stuff from Vanishing Ink, I might get that as well. Oh, the other thing that's fucking mental, by the way, 1914 are doing crazy deals. Crazy, crazy fucking deals. Right, let me tell you. So they've got, first of all, they've got a Black Friday bundle, which is you get the Nightmare Page, which is a new trick by them, Echo, which is Chris Lawlin's masterclass on drawing duplication, and Circuit, which is Destino's Mark Deck. You get all three of those brand new releases for £65. Their Maverick trick, you know, they bought out Maverick a little while ago. They've got that marked down to $35 instead of $65. Eclipse was selling bucket loads when it first came out. It's the ESP marking system by D. Christopher. You can see from the other side of the room. They've got those for 20 quid. Pure Psychometry, you've got for 30 quid instead of 50. You've got the Shadow Wallet. We all know the Shadow Wallet, how great the Shadow Wallet is. They've got those for £25. The Orphic Wallet, marked down to £45. Providence Playing Cards, they've got for £6 each. The Billet Masterclass, they've got for 20 quid. Billets, they've got packs of billets for £5. The Anywhere Act that they've just bought out from Mark Ball, 3.5 hours of content for £30. Forecast, my project Forecast on the Memorized deck, they've got that for £15. OTT, £15. Offstage, £15. Distorted Vision is £10. Deep Breath, which is like a two-hour tutorial on the Gilbreath principle, £10. Overdraft, Paul Fowler's incredible credit card trick, they've got for £30 instead of £45. And the new trick by David Peace, the coder, which I know you know. And I was with David.
Yeah, I love that.
He showed it me live. It was fooled the shit out of me. Really, really good. He's got that down for 20 quid. Massive discounts. Like everything. Sequence by Rich Relish has dropped from £25 to £14. Steel by Jamie Dawes dropped down to £14 and £20. Prohibition Monty, £12. Art of Stagecraft, £15. Trifecta, £15. Thy Will Be Done, £15. Visible, £15 from 30.
Fuck.
Yeah.
Fucking hell.
Massive.
Yeah, that's an amazing.
Massive, massive discounts on the
1914. Wow. There's my favorite company in the UK at the minute is, we've seen oh, by the way, what's Alakazam doing for Black Friday?
I know they've got, hang on. Bear with me, I will tell you. I forgot to mention about Alakazam. Okay. They've basically got...
I like all the snow. I like all the snow that falls on their website.
Right, isn't it? Yeah. They've got 25% off pretty much their entire range. You know the Alakazam range, their own Alakazam range? They've got like 25% off everything.
Oh, wow.
Which is really good. I don't know if they've got new releases. Well, they have. They've got two new releases coming out today, but they're not really focusing on new releases like a lot of the other companies, not making a feature of Black Friday. But yeah, they've got 25% off all of their own stuff.
Holy pajamas.
Who's your favorite magic company in the UK right now?
Oh, Mindhouse. Have you seen these? Lewis Laval's company.
Mindhouse is great. Lewis Laval is a great guy. He's
Mind, and then house is spelled haus.co.uk.
Well, what's their Black Friday deal, Lloyd?
It's like 50% off selected products. But if anyone's into mentalism, then just go and look at their website. Like, you should, like, just look at the website. It's hard to explain, but it's fucking sex appeal all over. Not like actual sex, but like the design style, the feel of it, the vibe of it. It's incredible. Like, all the every product is out of this world, and the price of it all is just pathetically low. It's way too low. Every item should be triple the price. So that's all I'll say. If you're into mentalism, mindhouse.co.uk, house spelled H-A-U-S. Go and check it out. Phenomenal. If I had my own magic company, it would look like that. I'd want it to look like that. And the quality to be like that. It'll never be that good, so.
Wow. Well,
honestly, Craig, just go on there and just buy one of everything and be better.
Be better.
Honestly, honest to God, do yourself a fucking favor.
Look,
go on your phone now. No, because everyone's... Okay, yeah, right. Now, add one of everything to your cart.
I want to do an interview with Lewis about this. We spoke a little while ago, but we never got around to doing it because I was in the middle of AGT. Yeah, all of this looks fucking beautiful. Fuck me.
Honestly, it's fucking insane, mate.
How is he even making money charging this cheap?
I don't know. And because the quality of the actual products themselves are phenomenal.
Yeah, it looks beautiful. It's really well done.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is...
And really well thought out stuff. Go on.
I was just going to say, they've out 1914. Do you know what I mean? They really have. Like, wow.
Grab a copy of Stargazer, not the refills, but grab a copy of Stargazer for a start. Like, do that. Because you'll like that. It's very good. I'd say... Storyteller is really good.
Storyteller, hang on, where's that? Stargazer, Mind Reading Oracle, I Dreamt of You, Devil Knows, Shadowstone.
Yeah, add the Devil Knows, chuck that in there.
Devil Knows. Oh, that's card only. Hang on, let me find a Devil Knows that. Hang on. Devil Knows by Lewis Lavelle. Okay, boom. Add to cart.
Yeah. Lexicon Good by Adam Dadwell. Yeah, chuck that in there.
Okay.
I haven't got Cult of Shadows yet, but got Cult of Shadows in.
On by Adam Dadswell is what you said, right? Okay.
I'm trying to think of the stuff that'll appeal, because some of it's very heavy mind reading things, you know. But some of it's more linear, which you'll love.
There we go. So I have in my cart Stargazer, Devil Knows, Lexicon, and the Storyteller.
Yeah, and then put in Cult of Shadows.
Who of Shadows?
Cult of Shadows by Lewis Lavelle.
Hang on, let me find it. Shadows, Devil Knows, Obscura, Radiant Mind, Shadow Stone. No.
No, Cult of Shadows.
I Dreamt of You, Mind Ring.
It's the second one down on all products.
Yeah, got it. Cult of Shadows. It's in. There we go.
Fucking great. There you go, man.
And all of that five things that you recommended, and it's just £93. That's it.
That's not bad at all.
Yeah, it's really good.
And that's like the physical product stuff. There's downloads in there for like £5 and things as well.
Wow.
So you can like, if you can buy five things and spend £25, is what I'm saying, if anyone else is listening. By the way, I don't have an affiliation with this. I know Lewis a little bit, not, you know, we've spoken over the years and stuff, but I'm not, you know, we're not buddies, and I'd like to be. He's very good. But this is my personal recommendations.
Well, I'm buying it now, so I'm very excited. I'll reach out to Lewis. I'll do a review show special on him, and we'll do an interview as well. I'll put it all together for a review show for him. The other thing is, not quite Magic Friday, Black Friday related, but I believe I have a trick coming from Murphy's at some point in the not too distant future.
Yes, I just found out actually last night that it might be tipping over into January.
That's fine. I had an email from, do you know Matthew Last?
Yeah. I give him your email.
Yeah, he said, this is Matt from Murphy's. I'm currently editing the beep trailer. I was wondering if you could make a list of all of the types of routines and effects that people will learn in the tutorial. I want to create a moment in the trailer where everything you can do with beep flashes on the screen and it becomes overwhelming because there's just so much you can do with it. I love the principles in beep. It completely fooled me when George performed it to me. Thanks, Matt. So I believe that Murphy's are working on the trailer as we speak.
Yeah, actually, funny story about this. So Matt's a non-magician, but he's the head editor at Murphy's and cinematographer. And he's been there, I don't know, 7 years? He's been there a fucking long time. Maybe 10, maybe come up on 10 years. And he's filmed and edited and worked with, you think about all the big magicians that have come and gone through Murphy's. And he's worked on all their projects, or, you know, the vast majority of them. And he normally has a really good like sense of when something's going to do well. He'll say, oh, I'm working on this trailer and, you know, I think it's going to be good because it's, you know, whatever. And he went to George, who's the head of the studio, and was like, oh, I think this is going to be phenomenal because Craig actually gets this woman to cry with emotion, how good the effect is from the thing that you do with it. And Matt doesn't get, you know, a lot, I don't know, it's a lot of the I think it's because he sees so much generic magic, and he likes magic. He's not a massive magic fan, but he doesn't do any magic. So for him, most of the magic he sees, just the reaction is from lay audiences, just, wow, oh my god, how the fuck did you do that? Very rare that something comes across is edited death, and it's like somebody's having such a reaction to something that they start like crying and connect with them so instantly. Yeah, very special piece. And yeah, so he actually like got up, went out. Because Matt's quite quiet. Matt doesn't really, you know, Matt keeps himself a little bit. And yeah, he actually got up out of his desk, walked over to George, started chatting about it. And yeah, so that to me is always like, oh, wow, okay, this is going to be interesting then.
Oh, wow, that's exciting. Well, it's not the first time, I'm going to say it's not the first time I made a girl cry. It's not the first time that a spectator has cried doing that effect, because that's the whole point of it. That's, you know, well, it's not the point of it, but it does, if any effect is going to elicit that sort of reaction, it's this effect because of what you can do with it and the emotions that it can make people feel when you're performing it.
Yeah, I said to George, he was asking like why do I think it got that reaction? And I said, well, I think sometimes like if you go and see a show or you read a book, you've got to get through the story to engage the emotion, to make you laugh, to make you cry, to make you sad, happy, whatever. But you've got to actually like get from A to Z. You've got to travel that journey, like, you know, literally at the words are like unraveling. When you watch a movie, you've got to sort of get to the end, the crescendo sometimes. Oh, you know, like you've got to get into it before you feel something. But then sometimes, and the same with a playing card trick or a coin trick, you've got to sort of get to the end before you feel something. But then there's some things like music. You can hear the first three beats of a song, da-da-da-da, and it can just take you back somewhere. And it instantly engages your core memories. And certain pieces of magic like this one, it immediately starts off by going straight to, you know, what they're feeling. And so it sort of bypass a lot of the stuff which normally would be the vehicle to get you there.
Yeah,
and it starts off like that. So, you know, it's like the same as like, not like, you know, it's not so much this, but like when you look, so if you have a photograph can tell you that story or remind you of a story within a second, or a blink of an eye, not even a second. And so some pieces of magic are able to do that. Like they transcend through the whole routine in a way, because what it is, you know, really essentially. Well, I'm not going to talk about it here. And by the way, this is not some high art piece. I'll say this is a something. You know, this is not going to do the magic for you, but what Craig developed is, and with who he developed it with, is so well thought out, and it makes so much sense, and it does do a lot of the work for you, but you do have to perform it. I'll just say that, you know.
Yeah, 100%.
It's phenomenal.
Completely agree with you. Absolutely, completely agree with you. And we were lucky to get the people that we got on the tutorial without saying who. You know, I mean, the fact is, I think I got the greatest living mentalist in the world today to be a part of the project.
Yeah. You can say who.
Pete Turner. Pete
Yeah.
Turner.
I think it's 2 hours of tutorial and then like a load of live performances.
2-hour masterclass with Pete Turner, with live performances of him doing the material as well. I mean, wow.
Yeah.
Just
Say
that
no
there.
mo.
Yeah, just killer. Absolutely killer. Anyway, enough of hyping that. What have you got? So we haven't done this for a while, Lloyd. At least you and I haven't. Have you got a sorry, not sorry? You got something you want to talk about?
Has anything pissed you off lately or not pissed you off that
You
should
know,
have?
I'm namaste as fuck recently. I've had I'm just fucking chilled and I'm just good. I haven't put a rap video up on the channel for ages. I'm just good. I've got people goading me. As you know, I've spoken to you about various people that are trying to get me to do a video about them. But I've come to the realization that it just, what's the fucking point? Because it doesn't actually achieve anything, and I'd rather spend more time putting out content that I think fucking makes a difference to the community rather than just ranting and raving about people that have pissed me off. I don't know.
Yeah. You know, my biggest thing is that since I removed 4,500 magicians from my Facebook, I just don't see any of the bullshit. And it just doesn't faze me. You know, because I can't, you don't yeah, the only time I really hear about it is if you say something or somebody will mention something in a Facebook in a WhatsApp group. But I think sorry not sorry should be like, I don't know. It's all well and good, like having your finger on the pulse of the industry or the magic community to some extent, but I think a lot of us would be better served, better spending our time by just fucking exiting the Facebook groups. Get the fuck out of them. Stop wasting your time. Honestly, the amount of people that I see that spend, you know, dozens of hours per week just ranting and raving back and forth at people and getting into arguments over the most mundane shit, whether they're in the right or whether they're right or wrong, they could literally just be practicing
Yeah.
and they'd be better. They'd be literally their life would be better for it, you know. So I don't know. I don't have a sorry, not sorry, but I can just say that like lately I've had I feel like my magic anyway. And I mean, I deleted Facebook a long time ago and then reopened it for family only so I can catch up with local shit that's going on. But I feel like my magic has gotten better. My creations have gotten better for it. My time is better served. So I don't know. Because I used to like read those comments and depending on whose side of them you're on and things, you get riled up for it. And sometimes you take a step back and you think, oh, yeah, I mean, it's all well and good standing up for what's right and what's wrong, but fucking sometimes just choose the battle to die in, choose the hill to die on. You know what I mean? Choose the battle. I don't know. Is that sorry? Sorry, I don't think it's sorry. I'm sorry. Is there anything? I don't know. I don't know what the hot topic of conversation is.
Yeah, no,
Yeah.
I know exactly what you mean. Just like chill out, relax, don't let arguments be nobody's ever won an argument on social media ever. You know, you just end up arguing back and forth and back and forth and back and forth, and no one's ever gonna win. And
Isn't there a
don't.
famous quote like if you try and play pigeon with a sh with a like, try and play chat with a pigeon, you both lose because it'll just knock all the pieces over and shit on you and it flies away, and then you both sat there covered in shit because
Yeah,
no one's played chat
well, that's
with
the
you.
expression I've heard is never
I
wrestle
don't know.
with a pig because you'll just end up both getting dirty or something. I can't remember the exact phrase, but something about wrestling with pigs. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't fucking know.
Fucking something like that. I don't know. But no, you're right. Like I say, I'm namaste as fuck. I've got people that are trying to piss me off. I've got people that are trying to bring me down. But fuck, man, I'm in a good place. I'm happy. I'm all about... Hello, Kaylee. How are you?
Good to see you. I can't hear you because I'm on my headphone. Craig said, hello, Kaylee. How are you? Oh, she said, hi, I'm good. That was fucking rude.
It's a pleasure seeing you, Kaylee.
He said, it's a pleasure seeing you, Kaylee. Always, yeah. You said that constantly as well. You got it from the gym, so she's a huffy mess.
Well, yeah, namaste as fuck. That's me, you know, and I think more people need to be. Am I ever going to...
Oh, actually, I have a quandary.
Ooh.
Not a grievance or anything, a quandary. Right. I've been working on a trick. And I'm working on two tricks that are actually kind of similar. One of them is in conjunction with Jake Keane from the Black Art Podcast. And both the trick, if they were to have a flat out performance from start to finish as a trailer, magicians could rewind it 100 times and recreate the method or figure out the method, essentially. So, obviously, you don't want... So, my question is, in a situation like that, with an effect like that, right, the effects are really strong, really, really good, really, really practical.
I think I know the tricks you're talking about.
Yeah, but both the tricks could be, if they were played from start to finish, they could be... What's the word I'm looking for? I can't think of the phrase.
Reverse engineered,
yeah. And they could both be reverse engineered upon multiple viewings. And part, you know, with both of these effects, you're sort of selling the secret as well as what you get with it. So my question to you is, in a situation like that, and I have my own theories, but I just think it's interesting to get other people's thoughts on it too. What would you say is a correct course of action or an honorable course of action? Because if you were to put up a trailer and leave out the part that would be, for example, these are nothing like the effect at all, but let's say you would do releasing a card for wallet. By the way, these are not card to wallet effect or anything to do with playing cards even. But the method involves you palming the card out and putting it in the wallet. So in the trailer, you cut that part out, right? And this is nothing like this, but I'm saying, you know, because obviously in the video, when people watch it, in real life, people wouldn't notice it because of misdirection and framing of the body and everything. But in a video, say, filmed at a wrong angle, you would do your best to cut that out. Or, you know, it's an option to try and do that. So in this instance, but then people would say, oh, it's fake. The trailer was fake. So I don't know. What would you say is a way of keeping everyone happy when you're not being dishonest? Or
how I would do it is I would be honest about it, and I would do a trailer where you're kind of narrating it. So it kind of starts off as, hey, my name's Lloyd Barnes, and let me tell you about my new effect. It's called blah. Now, I'm going to actually explain to you exactly what happens. I'm not going to show you a full performance because, honestly, if I showed you a full performance, there's people out there that might be able to reverse engineer the secret. So I have to keep things a little bit on the down low, but I'm going to tell you right now exactly how it would appear from a spectator's point of view. And then as you're narrating it, I'd have clips of the performance come up on the screen. So you're chopping it up and you're explaining it from what the audience's point of view is without leaving those bits in that would necessarily make the people watching it be able to reverse engineer it.
That's pretty much where my head that as well. We're very much on the same page. To paint it red, to just say, hey, if I show you one part of this, you'll be able to reverse engineer it. I was just wondering, you know, the other option is to do like a Radiohead approach where you let them reverse engineer it and say, look, if you want to support the creator, then you can buy it, you know.
No, you don't want to
And
do
this is a full
magic.
uncut
It's
performance.
going to be so many people. Come on, within 15 minutes of stuff going on sale, it appears on some sort of knockoff website. Like,
Yeah, it's very true.
there's going to be people out there that, even ethical people, there's a percentage of people that will go, oh, okay, I can see how that works. I'll just do it.
Yeah, very true.
And also, it's not fair on the people that have paid the money that you're putting it out there and you're kind of like taking that, oh, well, if you feel like you want to support the creator, please do so approach. It's not fair to the people that have actually decided to support you, that there's a bunch of people that didn't decide to support you that are going out doing the trick as well.
Okay, yeah, you've made my mind up there then.
I personally think I'd just, yeah, I'd do it like that.
Okay, right, that's how I'll do it then.
For both of them. Because I think I know the two that you're talking about. With yours, it's the... God, let me type it. I don't want to say anything in case I'm in trouble. Yours is the... that one. And... Jake's and yours is that one. Is that right?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, they're both fantastic effects. Very, very easy to do and very, very powerful and very, very clever.
Okay, well, then it's settled.
Yeah.
No, that was the, yeah, that's the thing. That was the one thing that I've just been mulling back over my head is how to approach it. But I do think you're right. It's just to say, you know, there's an element to this which can be reverse engineered. It's not by laymen, but by magicians. Intent on you know, exposing the secret before getting their hands on it. But that being said, we've left that bit out. But here's the real reactions for people that get to that watch it. Then,
and nobody will be disappointed who buys this, because it's a very, both tricks of a very clever method. That's a very different approach to how you would normally perform that sort of routine.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, I'm gonna. At least I hope I can get, I'm able to, is get, well, I will be including live performances of it to lay people. Because.
Well, I can go and get those live performances if you want me to.
Oh, yeah. That'd be super handy. I'm going to try. I wouldn't mind if you could do that, please.
Yeah, well, I'm filming with Nemid this Thursday. This Thursday, me and Nemid are filming for something for Penguin. So I could very easily, I'd need a phone call with you just so I know exactly what it is that I'm meant to do, but I could get live performances for both of those if you want me to. No problem.
Oh mate. Yeah. Okay. Then let's discuss it after this then.
Yeah, sure.
I'm going to try and get some.
And Nemid can film it and he can just send the footage over to you.
Perfect.
Yeah.
That'd be ideal. Please. Thank you.
No problem. Anything for you. You know
yeah.
that.
Hell yeah, thank you, man. Because, you know, my thinking is, when you have something which can be, like, revert, you know, it's almost like the cross-cut force, which is no one would ever perform it if they watch the performance of it.
Mm.
But it's the most practical worker-friendly force ever. It's the one I do 99 times out of 100 is the cross-cut force. But if you were to try and show people it, if you let magicians reverse engineer it, they think it was awful. It wouldn't fool anyone. Yeah. You have
if
to sort of
invented
put
today,
in people, stuff like that.
If the cross-cut force was invented today, people would just rip it apart. They would.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was having a conversation with Nick from Penguin Magic, interestingly, and I was talking about self-tying shoelaces. And he said, so first of all, I use self-tying shoelaces in every kid show. It's my opener to my kid show. Because there's nothing more organic than that. You walk out on stage and, you know, the kids within 10 seconds are going to say your shoes are undone, and you just shake your feet and they're tied up, and it's something they can relate to because most of them are struggling to tie shoes at that age. So it's a fucking amazing opener. And I was speaking to Nick about it from Penguin, and he said it's one of Penguin's best-selling tricks of all time because they've got the rights to it. And he said, but you know what? What's interesting? If it was released today, if it was sent in for submission to Penguin today, they'd probably pass on it.
What?
Yeah, because he said that, you know, it's kind of a cumbersome method to achieve something. You know, a lot of ideas have moved on. But I mean, it's still just as good, in my opinion. It was years ago. And he said, the problem is, I think his big point was camera equipment has improved a lot these days. And so back when you saw David Blaine do it and back when it was done, it looked absolutely amazing. But if you were going to get it on camera today, in high definition and everything, you might see what's going on. So it'd be a challenge just how to film it. It's great in front of a live audience, but, you know, with modern cameras, it might not look as good as it would have done, you know, like 10, 15, 20 years ago. But it's one of Penguin's best-selling tricks of all time. I love it. Makes you think, are there any tricks that, like, we think of as classics that, like, if they were pitched to a magic company these days, nobody would do? Or you'd turn around...
Oh, God. So many. Just so many wouldn't make it through the cut these days. But a lot of, I was discussing this not long ago with, I think maybe, I can't remember who it was, but the last, I'd say, over the last 20 years online, at least, a lot of magic hadn't been seen before. And what I mean by that is a lot of magic moves, a lot of magic routines had been only, up until the advent of the internet and sharing of videos, had been like whispers and rumored of, seeing things like an SWE shift or a pass done perfectly by like a real actual expert of the past. Certain routines, like, I don't know, Ponta the Smith's winged silver routine. Stuff like that was only hearsay or something. You'd have to travel to a convention on the other side of the world to see, oh, have you heard so-and-so? He does, you know, he does the raise rise. Have you ever seen the raise, you know, raise rise done like this or XYZ? And when the internet came along, then there was the flood of all these people around the world sharing these sort of unseen pieces of magic before, just en masse. Things that had only been like, rumored of or whispered out for decades, centuries, and everyone online then in the whole magic community, sort of a lot of us at once were exposed to these things for the first time, and that was really the digital download market. People paying to see these secrets, see them performed, and then see them learn how to do them for the first time ever. And I mean, in my head, it's almost like, I don't know, I'm probably wrong on this number, but like 95% of magic that had been in the ether globally was then and has now like sort of been consumed, and it's raised the amount of people that now know knowledge about certain moves and flights they never would have got to see, or routines that they'd only ever heard of before. As that knowledge has raised the bar for all of magic. It's sort of everyone, the whole community has grown and learned with it, and things that used to fool everyone when they first seen them, now they're just not just the trick in itself, but like the concept or the principle that makes the trick work. A lot of these things have been seen and understood by tens of thousands more magicians than previously, which I know it kind of goes without saying. But a lot of those magic downloads did really well because they were being shared for the first time on camera. Whereas now, so much of that material, an overwhelming amount of that material, is stuff that we see as we scroll through a magician, as we flick through Instagram and YouTube and Facebook magic pages. This is what I'm trying to get to. A big part of the secret of magic, at least I think with magicians and even lay audiences, it's not even the secret. It was actually seeing the trick.
Mm.
Right? Just seeing the trick was part of the experience, because it was like, oh, you've got to go to here and you've got to go and watch so-and-so's lecture to see them do this piece of magic. And sometimes there's pieces of magic that when you finally see them after hearing about them, oftentimes if it's something spoken about quite a lot, you love the effect, but when you see it, you're like, oh, okay, I can see how that works out. It's almost like it's the legend of the effect, you know, the legend of the trick. It's sort of I don't know what to say greater than the trick itself, but oftentimes the excitement of the trick being passed around before, it's almost like, you know, the hype of something. It's just the old school way of doing it. And I think a really hard way to put this into words, but a lot of the we understand a lot more now because we've seen a lot more.
Yes. Yeah.
The things that used to fool all of us in the community when we first watched it on video, we're not fooled by it, but also it gives us, it's taught the magic community how to understand more magic than they see in general. So other effects in a similar vein also won't fool us where they were. Do you know what I'm trying to get to?
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah, I do. Yeah. Yeah.
We have a much, much, much broader understanding of magic now because of so much of the big secret. But I don't actually mean the secret, I actually mean the way a lot of the stuff just looks is out there. So we can visually break it down.
Yeah. I think it's why so many people can come into magic now and become so much more advanced than they did back in my day. Because with my day, it was difficult to track down the secrets. You had to go, like, you know, mail order catalogs and like sending off the stuff that was just tat and you didn't know, and you had to spend weeks before it arrived. And if you're lucky, you go to a magic shop and you know, you take a punt on buying a book or something and you bring it back. And, you know, getting hold of these secrets is hard. These days, if I see something that I like, all I have to do is search it up, find out what it's called on the Magic Cafe, and probably buy a download, and it'll be with me immediately, and I can learn it straight away. It's instant gratification, and I think that has led to magicians maybe not practicing and honing everything they buy. You know, I don't, you know, that you know, there's so many magicians that buy stuff and buy stuff and buy stuff. They look at it, but they never practice it and do it, and it just sits in their bottom drawer. It wasn't like that when I got into magic, because getting a new trick or a new book was an event. You didn't have 15 new tricks coming up every day that you could just pick and choose from. And then the next day, another 15, and the next day, the other 15. You had to make do with it. You know, I remember, you know, you'd have something like Stranger's Gallery and Twisting Sisters coming out. And then that would be it for like 4 months until an L&L DVD came out. And you got all the time in the world to work on it and get it good before you get something else. You know, you don't get that these days. People buy something, they look at it, they kind of play around with it a bit, they put it in the bottom drawer, because then another thing's come and another thing's come. And, you know, it's rare that people really put the time and effort into learning something.
Yeah. 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 But also, yeah, there's still people that do. But yeah, anyway, but going back to the question of like certain digital, like something like self-tying shoelace, would it? I still think that would be a big hit because it's got the physical component to it that you need. But there's certainly a massive, massive amount of magic downloads that wouldn't exist.
Yeah.
You know, anymore, or wouldn't make it through the cut anymore.
I agree. Yeah.
Interesting. I'm trying to think of some examples. The thing that comes to my mind is like, I don't know, maybe like, maybe Bullet and Factory Sealed. Two coin bottles that were put out by Illusionist that people went crazy for, and they were DVDs even. And the secrets were fairly simple on the outside of it, right? To both of them, and they're phenomenal effect. Don't get me wrong. Nick Verner and Matthew Mello, I believe, both created them. Both phenomenal effect with some amazing extra ideas by Justin Miller and Brad Christian within those. But I think if they were to be put out as downloads now, I don't think they would do so well.
No, I think you're right. I think you're right. Another one is, and you know, this is one of my favorite tricks of all time. I do it all the time. It's probably my favorite impromptu trick. Sinful. Wayne Houchin.
Yeah.
That, when that came out, that was a DVD. That was a physical product. Well, it wasn't a physical product, but it was a DVD that you bought to learn this one particular trick.
Oh, do you know what? Actually, so on about that with Wayne Houchin, is his check indecent with the card in the clear Ziploc bag?
Yes.
I don't think that. I looked at that the other day and I fucking love Wayne Houchin. Like, proper, massive fan of Houchin. I tried to look him up the other day online just to see what he's up to. Can't find anything. And another magician as well. I'll come back to him in a minute. But I don't know what. I this is the curse of knowledge, right? Because obviously we all know how indecent it's done now. But it was such a hit at the time. But I don't know whether it aged badly. But I watched it the other day and I remember watching the video and I was like, was I an idiot back then? Of course, I'm saying this knowing that I know this now because I know the method. But I was looking at it thinking, I can't imagine this would sell, you know, this would fool anyone these days. And I just don't know whether the community collective understanding of methods is just greater now, or whether it really would do well, and I'm just looking at it through rose-tinted glasses with the curse of knowledge on my side. But do you remember there was a guy called Joel Haskell?
Yeah.
Who used to release with Theory 11.
Yes.
He had official Theory 11 release. He had one called Believe, where a selected card was chosen. You then loosen the deck, find the wrong card, tear the corner off that wrong card, place it face down on the table, face up on the table. You'd wave your hand over that corner. It would visually change to the correct corner, and then the rest of the torn card matched as well, changed as well. Remember that? And he had things like Death to the Double Undercut and a bunch of downloads with them, all filmed and produced by Theory 11. Remember him? He was like to be the next big thing. He seems to have vanished completely off the face of the earth. Like, completely off the face of the earth. I literally was like, I wonder what he's up to these days. I wonder if he's still creating magic. So I put him into Instagram. Nothing. Put him into Facebook. Nothing. And I was like, oh, I wonder if he's just like a gigging magician. So put his name, like Joel Haskell, into Google and put like magician after it. Nothing. And then I was like, well, that's kind of strange. There's nothing about this guy anyway. If you put any phrase in quotation marks in Google, it'll search for that exact phrase. So I put his name in quotation marks and then put like magician and nothing. Like absolutely like nothing. The only thing you find is just links to his old downloads.
That's really weird. People just, but you know, you have to remember that people do drop out of magic.
That's what I was thinking. But like, there's nothing on this guy at all. Like, even if they're like, hey, I work as a barista now. Like, there's just nothing.
Well, I'll tell you something. Do you remember the fingerless magician, Dean Lahan? Is it Lahan? Lahan?
Yeah.
So I was doing an interview for Magic TV with Matthew Wright the other day. And his name came up because I can't remember, we were talking about something or other and his name came up.
Yeah, I love Gene. He's fucking great.
And yeah, he worked with Matt at the Chamber of Secrets for like 2 years. And Matt was working with him on an AGT act and on a BGT act and on a Penn and Teller Foolers act. And then Matt just said, yeah, I speak to him every day, but he's completely dropped out of magic now. He just doesn't do it anymore.
What? Why?
I don't know. Why do people drop out? I don't get it. I don't get why people just drop out of magic, especially when they've got to the point that they've spent 2 years working at the Chamber of Secrets with Matthew Wright, which would be a lot of people's dream position.
Yeah, I you said you had it with your old partners, the one who went into property.
Yeah, Russell, just, yeah, he just left. He
Russell
just,
Wells?
Yeah, Russell, he just decided to go into property. Russell Leeds, yeah. He decided to go into property instead. Just wanted to do property instead of magic. He didn't want to do it anymore, you know? And it's a shame. It really is. It's a real shame, you know? Russell was very, very good. I mean, his rubber band stuff is exceptional today. It's as good. I mean, fucking hell. When Joe Reinfleisch released his rubber bands, his... Elastiflex rubber bands, he named a different color after each band magician, and he named them after the who he considered to be the best rubber band magicians in the world, and he named yellow after Leeds.
What the fuck?
Just didn't want to do it anymore.
I I don't know. I don't get it. But then it's just different strokes for different folks, isn't it? Like,
yeah, I can't
for
see
me and
myself.
you, I. As if me and you, it can't. I can't quit magic. It's woven into me. It's not an option or a choice.
It's a way of life.
Yeah.
Thea's got a t-shirt that she wears. I mean, Thea loves magic. My daughter Thea loves magic. She's not a magician, but she loves magic. And she's got this t-shirt that Sarah bought for her for her birthday that she wears like all the time. I didn't choose magic. Magic chose me.
That's very true for her, yes. No, but do you know what? It's like the way that like you look at the world, the way you think about everything, like I would have to have a brain transplant to have to. Like then I wouldn't be who I am. Like it's just, I don't know. Yeah. But then some people only get into it as a hobby, don't they? Like for me, it's my life. Like it's not. Yeah. Bizarre, but yeah, I don't know. I wonder what happened, because that guy seems so good and so passionate and
he was
good understanding of magic. So but yeah. So if anyone knows what he's up to, just out of interest, let us know, because I'm just a curious Clive on this one.
Yeah, and you know. Who else has dropped out of magic that we miss? I mean, if we sat down and thought about it, we'd probably come up with a ton of names. Where do they go? And what happens to them? It's crazy.
Nobody
knows. Magicians obviously dropped out during the pandemic and then just never came back. I know that a lot of pros left magic during the pandemic because they were forced to get a job doing something else. And when they were able to perform again, they didn't want to go back and, you know, leave that guaranteed wage for, you know, the uncertainty of being self-employed, especially when you were going into a industry where it was still unsure how long it would take before the country came, well, the world came back to normal. And also a lot of people were just enjoying the 9-to-5 life. You know, I mean, the thing is, being a magician, if you're a full-time pro, you're away every weekend. You know, I mean, this is my next few days. Today, I'm in the evening, I'm in my office all evening doing a live launch with Alakazam. Then tomorrow, I'm in my office until 2 o'clock in the morning doing one-to-ones with my gold members. Then Thursday, I'm in Northampton doing two shows. Friday, I'm off to Blackpool. And then I'm going to be at Blackpool performing Saturday and Friday. Then on Sunday, I come back and I head down London. I'm at Alakazam in Kent, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Thursday, I get back and then I'm going straight up to Glasgow to do a gig in Glasgow. Come back Friday, I've got a gig down south. Just like, you know what I mean? It's like, yeah, it's a lot of people don't want that lifestyle. They don't like that lifestyle, you know, and a lot of pros that left just didn't want to go back to that, you know, oh, I get to see my family all over the weekend and weekends and evenings and so on and so forth. They didn't want to go back to that.
Yeah. Oh, dude, literally my idea of hell. That is right there in a nutshell, my idea of absolute fucking hell.
Well, I luckily drag my family out with me a lot of the time. You know, like the way, you know, how I get family time is I make family time. Like, yeah, we're going to Blackpool and Ryland's performing and so am I. But my family's going with me and we're having a little whole day to Blackpool. And I'll be performing in the evening, but we'll be together all day during the day. Do you know what I mean? So you make it work, but I know that that's not for you. You like to be in your house. You don't want to go too far away from your front door. And I respect that. I really do. That's not.
I spent so long traveling the world for magic, just constantly brutal laps around the globe. It's a young man's life. Do you know what I mean? For me, at least, they were doing that was.
Yeah.
I'm just. I don't know. I need to. What it is, I think. I was saying this something the other day. I need to make a bucket list, a new one, because I ticked everything off that I want to do. But it's like. You kind of pursue those things and you're happy to do those late, long days and late nights and being away. At least I'm a goal oriented person. So when I have a goal, I'm happy to do it because I've got, like, I have to like strive towards it. But when I don't have anything I'm working towards, then I just want to be happy and chilled. So I think I need to make a new bucket list because I've literally finished mine.
Mate, well, that's great. I mean, make a new bucket list.
Yeah, I think I'll have to. Maybe that'll be my New Year's resolution is to, make a list of 10 things to achieve a year, and then I'll get me off my ass and doing something.
Sounds good. Sounds like a plan, man.
And on that note,
we're going to wrap this up. You said you wanted to be done by 11. It's 4 minutes past. So thank you once again for joining us on the Magic Podcast. You going to be around next week, Lloyd?
Let's leave it as a mystery.
Let's leave it as a mystery. Either Lloyd will be here or I'll be here with somebody else. But one way or another, we'll have a podcast. Hopefully, it'll be Lloyd. But don't forget to follow us on all of your favorite podcasting platforms. And we'll be back next week, one way or another. But Lloyd, sign us out.
Have a shit week, cunt.
It gets more personal every single time you do it. Every single
fucking I wasn't even looking at the screen. I was reading up about the new Ronnie O'Sullivan documentary. Sorry.
That's okay. Well, like he said, you can all fuck off. Have a shit week. And we'll be back again next week. Bye, everyone.
Piss off.
We apologize for disrupting your normal daily schedule. You may now relax, tuck your deck back in, and resume your regular day-to-day life. Remember to subscribe to be notified the moment each new episode goes live every Wednesday. And join our Facebook group to continue the conversation. The link is in the description to this podcast. Thank you for listening to The Magic Podcast.